This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. On the website, you can read my weekly meditation, you can re-listen to this program, and of course, we'd love to hear from you if you have comments on the program or if you have prayer requests. You can contact me either through the website or through the regular mailing address. So if you need either of those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. You can still also get on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, but you'll need to send me your address so I can send it on to them. Now today, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. Last time we looked at the shepherds and how that they had heard and seen and the Lord, and now were glorifying and praising God. We know that they were the chosen ones to announce the Lord's birth, but probably they were praising the Lord because God had shown them that, again, prophecy was being fulfilled and that the Lord was moving on Israel's behalf. They were not forsaken. The Messiah had come. And we today are sort of in the same position that Israel had been in. We know that Israel had been told that their Messiah would come. They were looking for him, and yet there had been 400 years of dead space, you might say, insofar as hearing the voice of God was concerned. And so when it became obvious that the Lord was fulfilling his promise to bring the Messiah through a virgin in Bethlehem of Judea, and the shepherds heard that, they were glorifying and praising God. Now we are waiting for the Lord to return. In John 14, he says, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." But he has been gone for 2,000 years. So for them, there was the period of their dispersion and then the 400 years of silence. But in a sense, there's been 2,000 years of silence for us. And today people are saying, where is the promise of his coming? And even though this time of the year we celebrate the birth of the Lord, I sometimes wonder how many people who supposedly are worshiping the Christ child on this day have ever come to that point in their lives where, as sinners, they have trusted the Savior for their salvation, and where they are looking for a resurrected, living Savior to return. For us, there's not going to be an announcement by shepherds. We're going to read about Simeon today. There's not going to be an announcement by Simeon. We're not going to have angels announcing his coming. The coming of the Lord for us is going to be a sudden coming. 1 Thessalonians 13 says that there's going to be a trumpet sound, but when the trumpet sounds, it's going to have happened. It's going to be happening, I guess I should say. And for those who are not prepared, it will be too late. This first coming was a coming where the Lord prepared the people and allowed them to have time to consider and to trust in him. And now we've got this 2,000-year period where we have the opportunity to consider and to trust in him. But how many of us really have trusted in the Savior? Do believe in him. Do believe in his coming again. The shepherds were rejoicing because apparently they had been anticipating the birth of their Messiah, and now they had seen him. It was the Lord was again putting Israel on the front part of his program. Again, things were happening and Israel was going to be blessed. And friend, we need to be anticipating the Lord's return, but we are not going to have the prophets tell us when this is going to happen, because of that day and hour knoweth no man. And so we need to be ready and we need to be anticipating it. And as we go through this season, we need to be asking ourselves, do we really believe in this one we claim to be worshiping? Do we believe that he's living and that he's powerful and that he has the right to tell us we're saved when we trust in him and that he's coming again for us? Do we believe all of that? Now, keeping in mind that the shepherds have seen the Lord now, they've heard the angels, and they have been just astounded at what they have seen. We want to start reading from Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, which says, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. And behold, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." I'm going to back up because I've missed a sentence that's very important. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your words, for mine eyes have seen your salvation.'" Salvation was in this person. "For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word." Now, when we look at this passage, it's quite clear that Joseph and Mary were just and devout, just as Simeon was, but they were Jews, and they worshiped the Lord according to the Old Testament law, the Old Testament ceremonies. And they were, because they were worshipers of the Lord, they had 3 things that they had to do. They had to circumcise the Lord, and they did that. They had to purify Mary, because at the end of the 40th day after the birth of a child, there was a purification rite for the women who had born children. For a male, I think it was 40 days, and for a female, it was a different period. If I remember right, it might have been 80 days. But nevertheless, there was this purification rite that had to take place. Then, as we look at the Lord, he was the firstborn. And if you'll remember, under Jewish law, the firstborn was the Lord's. The firstborn had to be redeemed. And so it was necessary for the Lord to be presented at the temple. And then they had to pay to redeem him. And as I recall, they paid 5 shekels of silver to do that. It's quite clear that Mary and Joseph were poor, because when it came to the purification rites, for those that were rich, they could offer an animal. For those that were poor, they could offer the 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. But nevertheless, these ceremonies were important to Mary and Joseph. Now, understand that just as the New Testament ceremonies do not save, the Old Testament ceremonies did not save, but for those who were worshipers of Jehovah, if we were to use our New Testament terminology, for those who were Old Testament believers in Jehovah, it was important for them to worship Jehovah the way he had asked to be worshipped. And all of these purification rites, all of these ceremonies, and all of these animal sacrifices, they were means of instructing the children of Israel about the work of Christ that was going to be fulfilled in this Christ child. Now, we don't have to keep those ceremonies today. If you read the New Testament, we'll find out that in the New Testament, the ceremonies of the law have been set aside. This was discussed by a Jewish conference in Acts 15. And Gentiles and those who are saved in the church today, we remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread. That's one of our ceremonies. We also are baptized. Actually, we're baptized after we're saved. Then we remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread. There are some groups that still believe that we should do feet washing. And I understand why they would say that. I personally do not believe that that was ever carried out in the New Testament church in a ceremonial way. But we worship God according to the way he wants to be worshiped now. It doesn't save us. But, of course, the saved want to please the Lord and would do those things. And so these people, these parents of the Lord, made sure that the law was fulfilled in their relationship with the baby and their relationship with God. The law was their guide as to how they could please the Lord. And so the Lord was presented. He was likely redeemed with those 5 shekels of silver. And then we see Simeon coming in. And Simeon was one of those Old Testament saints that was waiting for this to happen. And it's interesting that as you look at Simeon, it's quite clear that he not only believed the Christ child was going to be born, but he saw a suffering Savior before he saw a reigning Savior. And I think that's why he said, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against," that Christ's child was not going to be accepted by everybody. And then he said, "Yea," to Mary, "yea, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the hearts of many souls will be revealed." And so I think he was looking forward to the crucifixion. And of course, when the Lord was crucified, we don't read anything about Joseph. He may have already died. We don't know where Joseph was, but we do know Mary was part of that crucifixion picture that we read about in the New Testament. And it must have just been a heartbreaking thing to see this son who was always obedient, this son who was a child of prophecy, this son who was a miracle child, being crucified because of the envy of religious leaders who had missed the whole point of the Old Testament prophecies, who had missed the fact that just as Simeon had seen Israel's salvation, they could have seen salvation in the Lord, but they didn't. Religion missed it, and Mary, as a result, saw her child suffering. And so, folks, you don't want to be religious. You want to be real, anticipating the coming of the Lord, because he's been born. He has proved himself to be the Son of God. He has died. He has been raised from the dead, and he offers a salvation today if we'll simply trust in him. Now, we pray that that'll be the case in your life if it isn't already. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program. We pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.